And I need, Caden, come here for a moment, please. I'll get there in a minute, Scott. It's not one to clip to my belt, so I got it in my back pocket. Luke in chapter 17. Did I say chapter 12? All right, we're just gonna be through the whole Bible, and this message is going to take about 2 years to preach. Y'all okay with that? I know that there's a time set in your brain and in your bottom. You do realize that the clock works with your brain and your bottom, because sometimes you'll sit there too long and you get numb on one end and dumb on the other, right? You get confused on one end and confused on the other too, amen. But you get to Luke chapter 17. Now, we've been dealing with the Lord Jesus preaching and teaching to the people, having to deal with the Sadducees, Pharisees, and his doubting disciples. Well, this morning, the idea here is, what do you do with a doubting world? Dealing with a doubting world. They come to him here in Luke 17 and verse number 20, and they are just beside themselves. They have this problem. Their problem is they're God haters. They have a huge problem with the truth of the Word of God. They have the promise given to Abraham, but they do not believe that the Lord Jesus Christ is the answer to that promise. Now, Scripture is very clear that the Lord Jesus Christ is the answer and the fulfillment of God's promise of a Messiah that was given to Jacob, that was given to Isaac, and originated with his promises with Abraham. By the way, if you want some answers to prayer, go before the throne and call on the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, the God of David and of Moses. I need that same God that takes down giants. I need that same God that makes water drinkable. I need that same God that destroys the Egyptian army. I need that same God that gives land and gives cattle. I need that same God that provides during a famine. I need that same God. I don't want an old, washed-up God like most people think. God, you realize God don't age. He's in the past, present, and the future. He doesn't lose strength. He doesn't lose his marbles. He doesn't lose his thought processes. How many times you been in a conversation and you forgot what you was thinking? I was talking to a friend of mine yesterday on the phone. He says, you know, I just forgot what I was going to tell you. I said, hey, man, get in line. It happens to the best of us. Amen. I can't believe I can't remember that mower name. Why can't I remember that mower name? Oh, my goodness. I'll think of, what's that? Yeah, this morning I was talking about mowers and brands and stuff like that and the Skag and this and that. And there's this mower, and I can see the mower right there, and I can't remember the name for nothing. Oh, my goodness. I'll remember it later. And then I'll go, oh, I'll tell them Wednesday night. If you look at verse number 20, our Lord is before Congress. Our Lord is before Governor Whitmer and all her Whitlets. Amen. Watch. And when he was demanded of the Pharisees, did you notice that? Man demanding God to give him an answer. And when he was demanded of the Pharisees, when the kingdom of God should come. Hey, Jesus, you're supposed to be God. You're supposed to be all this. We demand you to tell us when is the kingdom of God. That's what they're saying. Demanded of the Pharisees, when the kingdom of God should come. See, they have this idea that the kingdom of God is like the kingdom that David had. The kingdom of Saul. The kingdom of the kings when Israel was the strongest and most wealthy nation in the world. When's this kingdom coming? You think you're a king? You're all this and that? Why, when is all this pomp and ritual coming back? When are we going to have the Queen of Sheba types in this world showing up to see Solomon, wonder about all his wisdom and all his knowledge? When's this all going to... And is that not what the doubting world does today? I remember a few years ago in Time magazine, one of the covers was, is Jesus really coming back? Well, that was their way of shaking their fist and cursing God. He's not coming back. You know why? And this is what the world thinks. He's not coming back, and there's no such thing as a kingdom of God because Jesus isn't the king. He's not God. He ain't all that. And that's what the world does. Within their doubt, they become vicious. Within their doubt of God, they become wicked and corrupt. And want, now listen, hear me out. They want to kill anyone that follows after the Lord Jesus Christ. And the only reason why believers, we're meeting here this morning freely to preach from the old King James Bible, to preach the truth of Jesus Christ, died and rose again, to preach those truths without fear, is because of God's protection over us right now. Because right now in the world, there are believers that are meeting like you and I in the cover of darkness, out in the trees, in hideaways in China. There's a writer and a great man, a God named Watchman Nee, around the turn of the century of the 1900s, and he wrote many books, and they had churches in China underground. Many of those churches were found out and killed. There are believers that I know right now in Pensacola, Florida, that told me of times in the 80s and 90s that they were fearful for their lives as they met in the woods of the Ukraine, Moldova, Crimea, and many other parts of the Russian world, for fear that the KGB would come and imprison them and torture them because they believed in Jesus Christ. Christos Voskrios. Is Jesus Christ the Savior? Vayestino Voskrios. Absolutely, Jesus is the Messiah and the Savior. These Russian believers have told me story after story after story happening in much of the world, even in India and Africa. Christians meeting like you and I to hear the preaching of the gospel that are being tortured and killed in the Philippines, Mindanao, in so many parts of the world. Y'all have heard about the missionaries down south to the Amazon. Mr. Elliot, Brother Elliot, was down there and he was caught by headhunters and they killed him. And his wife came back to the States and went back to the very ones that killed and ate her husband to give them the gospel. I wonder, American Christian, Michigander Christian, I wonder if we realize that that's what this world is all about. Do you understand that? You're dealing with a doubting world. Well, this doubting world, according to this verse, is doubting the, what is the kingdom? Well, let's look at that verse again. And when he was demanded of the Pharisees, demanding God, so foolish, when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation. Now we understand in the scriptures is the kingdom of heaven. Do you know the difference? The kingdom of heaven is our Lord Jesus in charge. He's the King of kings and Lord of lords. And you and I will be a part of that. That's our future. Our future is to reign here 1,000 years with him. Sister Karis, our future is to ride in on Crying Shame and Ralphie. Ralphie, sister's named her horse. That's happening one day. The Bible says that's happening. And when that happens, there's going to be no... Listen, friends, we're not a part of the Great Tribulation, like it or not. And I hear some of these scoundrels, Sister Michelle, you know you've been down south. And I haven't heard it as much up north because they're not too smart about the Bible and studying anyway and coming up with some of the garbage. But I've heard some of them southern boys talk about, well, there's two or three raptures and there's this and that going on. I'm going to tell you something, friend, that's all a bunch of garbage. But what I know on God's calendar is the rapture of the church is next. That's you and me. I know that there's a Bema Seat judgment, absolutely. But under the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, it is just that. I'm judged from my works to see whether they be wood, hay, or stubble, or gold, silver, and precious stone. Because the Lord Jesus took all condemnation and all wrath for my sin and your sin on that cross that day. That's why I truly believe it got dark all over the earth. It wasn't just Jerusalem. It wasn't just Israel and Judea. Oh, no, friend, I believe the whole world was darkened for 3 hours. Amen. Something happened that day. How do I know that? Somebody in the North American continent at that time noticed there was something that happened. And believe me, when Jesus Christ died and rose again, something happened. Amen. But these sounders, this world's scoundrels, they want to doubt. All a bunch of crooked people. Wait a minute. That's me. Now, I don't know if you want to put yourself in that group. But the way I read my Bible is that there's nothing good in me. And if there is any good in me, God put her there. But here in this passage of Scripture, they're one to argue, Jesus, if you're this great king and all, set your kingdom up now. Boy, you're an idiot if you're going to demand anything of God. Are you kidding me? But I know some characters that did that in Scripture. Let's take Elijah, for example. God, I'm all by myself. We're fighting Jezebel, and we're fighting Ahab, and we're fighting Bill, and we're fighting Hillary. We're fighting Barack, and we're fighting Michelle. God, we're fighting this character now. God, I'm all by myself. He says, wait a minute, buddy. You know Obadiah over there? Yeah, I know Obadiah. I got 7,000 of my servants hid away in a cave. I just happened to use you for the job. Jonah, I'm not going, decides to get on the boat. Didn't realize that when he got on the boat, God has a way of kicking him off in the water. And then what a ride he got to the shores of Nineveh. Boy, that fish had jet fuel in it. To move that far, that fast, to get him there, and then to throw him up on the beach. Boy, you talk about an entrance, huh? Anybody ever been vomited up by a fish to the front of the church? You know, it'd probably take a great fish to get some people into church. Especially some of the believers. Well, I ought to preach that for a little while. What will it take to get you in the house of God? Does God have to have an alligator come by and swallow you whole and then vomit you up at the doors? Baby, you remind me of that. I got to go write that down. That'll preach somewhere. I have to go down to Florida and preach that one. Then somebody will get upset. Well, my little dog was swallowed by a crocodile. No, honey, that was probably an alligator. And you were the silly one to have an itty-bitty toy poodle up near a flat pond. Because by the way, you know how we have little ponds around here after it rains, little water? In Florida, if you have just a small one, I guarantee you there's a gator and a snake there. Amen to that. Don't get too close to the water. I was done playing golf. I don't know how I'm going to get on this, but hey, I'll get back to the message in a minute. Brother Chris and I are out playing golf in Summerfield, Florida, and he was telling me about they had a sinkhole in that, Sister Michelle, and this lake was huge. It's empty at this point. So Chris is saying, yeah, my dad and I, we used to sit over here, and we would shoot water moccasins. So we're up on number 12, and it's a big dog leg right. And I'm going at the far left, and I'm going to fade it in. And it hit that. It was a beautiful shot. But it happened to hit a hard spot, so it bounces to the right. And it's right up next to the rough. And I've got a shot to the green. Look, I'm in good shape. But I walked over, and I heard something rustle. Y'all can have that ball. It's a snake. You don't mess with water moccasins, all right? So how did I get on that, honey? Anyhow, let me get back to the message. That was the commercial. You know, beloved, this old world is a mess. Doubting, 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 doubting. Christians are a mess. Doubting, 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 which is the opposite of faith. Elijah's doubting. And Jonah. A great revival happened in a wicked Gentile nation, and Jonah was not happy. That's just foolish. So I will say that in this doubting world, we have to include ourselves. I mean, you do doubt the weather person, do you not? It may be beautiful sunlight now, and they say we're going to have beautiful sunny skies all day, and then you give it about 3 minutes, and the weather just changes. Doubt. I doubt some things. Now, if I'm in Florida and I see a swimming pool, I have no doubt that that's going to be wonderful. No doubt. But if I come to Michigan and I see a swimming pool, I doubt that I'm getting in. Because I guarantee you, it is ice freezing cold. Right? I've not been in a pool other than a motel in the state of Michigan that had a warm pool to it. And I love the sign out by the side. heated. That thing's no more heated than the ice in my freezer. Doubting. Now, I do want to point us to a fact of Matthew 6:33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. The Lord Jesus simply gets to these doubters after the Pharisees had demanded an answer from the only answer. Do y'all remember last week? The answer to a bad day? Those lepers were having a bad day. And the Lord Jesus come along and made it a perfect day for them. A great day for them. A golden day for them. A heavenly day for them. A healed day for them. He's the only answer. So the answer standing before them, demanding them that they tell us when the kingdom of God is going to happen. What a bunch of fools. If they'd read their Old Testament, they would understand that the kingdom of God is spiritual. Now, the kingdom of heaven is very physical. There is such a thing as heaven's glory. I heard an interview this morning. The individual said, I wanted to get things right. Because when I go to the grave, I don't want things wrong with individuals on this earth if there is a hereafter. I would love to shake that man's hand and say, buddy, there is. There is a hereafter. And for those of you who know that for a fact, I do. I know by faith. I know by faith, by the mercies and compassion of God, that there is a place called heaven. And I'm so thankful for that. I know we find out hell in Luke 16, but I'm so thankful for heaven. The Pharisees demanded an answer from the only answer. They didn't see him as the only answer, did they? You know, they saw the Lord Jesus as the source of the problem. They saw him as the splinter that's causing your foot to hurt. The lump in your foot, Sister Dawn. They saw the Lord Jesus as the soreness. They saw him as the problem. They saw him as being in their way of being in charge and in control. Well, that's not a good place to be. And that leads to doubting. When you see your problem bigger than God, when you see your situation, when you see your troubles, when you see all the things going on in your life as bigger than the Lord Jesus, you're going to doubt. Every time. That's why the kingdom of God is not of observation. The Lord Jesus Christ, the answer, sternly answers these haters of God. Hate creates doubt. It does. Now, I want to hate sin and wickedness. The Bible tells me to. But besides that, if I have this hate or that hate, I'm probably going to doubt a lot. Doubt leads to bitterness. Doubt leads to an unmerciful spirit. Doubt is the spirit of Antichrist. Y'all understand that? And the spirit of Antichrist has been here as long as I've been alive, and a lot longer even before that. I mean, John even mentions in 1 John and in much of his writings toward the later part of the first age of the church, how that there are antichrists amongst us. He says in chapter 4, verse number 1, to try the spirits, to see whether they're of God or of wickedness and sin and evil and corruption. And if you spend any time in the Word of God, God will give you that ability to contrive an idea of where that comes from. We saw that this morning in 1 Corinthians 12. So with that in mind, the Lord Jesus, the answer, he sternly answers them back. He mentions there in verse number 20, and when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God cometh not by observation. Neither shall they say, lo here, or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. Boy, there's the real problem. There was nothing of God in them. Oh, they had the scriptures, but they didn't believe them. They manipulated the word of God, the law, to make their life better. not to make anybody else's life better, and not to lead the children of Israel back to worshiping God Almighty. Because God told his people, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, then will I hear from heaven, right? He says, I'll heal their land. Right now, in this period of time that we're reading from, the land has got problems because it's got the Roman in it. It's had the Greek in it. It's had the Median Persian armies in it. It's had the Assyrians in it. It's had Babylon in it. And I'm going to tell you right now, that don't sound very healthy. Because of all that, because of one reason, only one reason, they forsook God Almighty. They rejected the word of God. They rejected the promises of God. They rejected that promise of Abraham. The Pharisees' hate blinded them. They couldn't see anything. These did not see God in front of them. Oh, my word. Do you realize the blessings of the disciples right now in this passage? Do you realize the blessings to the Pharisees and Sadducees that's right there? The blessing is not the food on the table. The blessing is not the clothing on your body. The blessing is not the oxygen they're breathing. The blessing is the Creator, the God of gods and King of kings and Lord of lords, the Savior, standing right in front of them. And I'm going to tell you something right now. Doubt will create such blindness, you don't see God in front of you. And dare look back and see God and look to the left and the right, up and down. It'll blind you to the point you don't see God working anymore. I think that's why it's important that we count our many blessings. But you can't live by yesterday's blessings. You can remember them. That helps you as a you and I as a human being to follow after the Lord Jesus. But we need blessings for today. Hey, I can't wait to get into my tomorrow and see what those blessings are. But I better be careful and live today because I'm not promised tomorrow. To look to the Lord Jesus and see Him. These stinking scoundrels have God in front of them and they can't even see it. There's so many times in our lives, and many of them that will speak to me through the week, they'll tell me of this and tell me of that. And immediately come to mind is, look, God's been right in front of you, helping you out the entire week. Do we not all get pretty foolish that we don't see the hand of God working? 5 months and 12 days ago, I did not want to go through what God took me through. Anybody in here want to sign up for back fusion surgery? Where you can't wipe your nose? Let alone your own behind. You got to walk through the hospital in a gown and your wife's holding it so nobody sees your birthday suit. None of us want to go through those things. I remember telling Brother Mike, I said, boy, this was a great idea. David, you'll be fine. And just, I hate it when people are right. Especially God brings along a brother in Christ, a sister in Christ, abuela, Sister Carol, Sister Michelle, and Sister Margie. They got all these smiles. Don't they realize what I'm going? But you realize you got to go through that so you'll see God in a different light. Because we do, all of us, I don't care who we are, you can study and study and study and study and study, and you let the lights go out for 5 minutes, and you become a doubting David. You become weak in that. You know who kept me alive? God did. But did you know God uses vessels to keep you alive? That hospital stay was absolutely 1,000% no fun. I mean, they put me in a bed and they tried to lift it up, and the bed just, and I just had back surgery. Good thing they had some drugs in me. I can't imagine the pain I'd have had when it dropped. And I was kind of to it. Jamie and them hadn't got up there yet. And they said, David, Pastor David. And one of the girls called me Pastor David the whole time I was there. She said, we're going to move you to another bed. Now, I just want you to enjoy the ride. So they got four or five on that. And they you know how they grab the sheet and they pull you across. Ah! All right, we got ice on you. And they put water in it so it'd work. All right, you're good now. You're in a bed that works. Oh, okay, whatever. I remember saying, where's my wife? Where's my wife? And then finally Jamie and Mike and Terry got up there and they hadn't given me water yet. They put the water on. What is wrong with these people? Lord, are you sure you're still going through some other things, which I won't go into detail, but it's like, Lord, what are you doing? I call it out to you. But then the Lord shows me this nurse, Jamie, others that had come in that God used to keep me alive. Well, then, Lord, I guess I am weak and you are strong. Doubt will cause you to think you're stronger than God. Doubt will cause you to think that you're smarter than God. Anybody in here raise a hand and say they're smarter than God? Then why do we try to solve our problems from that standpoint? Now, with this in mind, the Pharisees, their hate had blinded them. And that's what happens. I think the American people are blinded today. They don't realize what you have in a President Trump in comparison to a President Harris. A President Obama, who sent and aided and abetted the enemy and has still not been charged with treason. I don't understand that. But God has a reason. And the reason, number one, is to give the gospel to the lost. And reason number two is to take care of His chosen people, Israel. There's a lot happening over there we don't know about, and it's because God's hand is still on His people, regardless of their foolishness. God's not done with Israel. Don't you think for a minute that you're a substitute for Israel, because you're not. Listen, you may think you're big in the britches, but you're not. It blinded them. These didn't even see God right in front of them. These could not see the truth. Have you ever dealt with somebody that here's the truth, 2 + 2 = 4, and they want to come up with the idea that it could be 5, it could be 6, it could be 3, it could be, right? Are you kidding me? Beloved, these could not see the truth, and the truth was right there in front of them to make them free. Not set them free. Make them free. But they didn't want it. Free from what? Blind, their blindedness. Free from their foolishness. Free from their thinking they're stronger than God. The Pharisees, the hate blinded them. These, because they couldn't see the truth, now they can't follow the truth. Believer, if you're not careful, your flesh will get you thinking this exact way the Pharisee was, and you'll not only not be able to see the truth, but now you're not able to follow the truth. Out on a trail, flashlight goes out, but the one in front of you, his flashlight is still working. Hey, I can follow his flashlight, my flashlight's out. Now imagine yourself out there by yourself. No stars in the sky, no moon to see, and it's dark. I mean, as dark black as it can be. Now what do I do? Well, you can try to figure it out. And that's where you're at in this doubting world. Without the Lord Jesus Christ, you have no light for the path. Without the Word of God, you have no light for the path. And I'm going to tell you right now, my batteries are so wore out, they're corroded, and they need to be taken out of that flashlight. But when I get in the Word of God, I'm finding out there's a power source for that light that is never ending. Lithium batteries can't even last as long as the light of the Lord Jesus. But it blinds them. So their doubt blinds them. The Pharisees' hate destroyed their ability to see, but it also destroys their ability to hear. He's standing right in front of them. He's speaking to them. He says this in verse 21. Neither shall they say, lo here. Oh, over here's the kingdom. Or over here's the kingdom. Or over here's the kingdom. I would love to get on horseback and go find Camelot.
Amen, I'm there.
Because the writers have made it such a beautiful place, I would love to just... Wow. Because if we went by the writers, of the King Arthur tales, which Artorias was a king approximately 100 AD to 200 AD that a lot of those stories are come by. And of course, usually those stories of legend have some ounce of truth to them. But can you imagine the beauty of the trumpeters, of the beautiful garb that Hollywood tries to show? And then those writers tell of Sir Lancelot the Righteous. Well, friends, in my Bible, I'm told the streets are of gold, the gates are of pearl, and there is no sin there. I've heard it. Now, I haven't seen it yet. No, Michigan, and definitely the UP, is not paradise. I will say this again. It is not paradise. Paradise is a fishing pole in your hand down on the Suwannee River catching nice stripes and watching out for the sturgeon to fly out of the water into your boat. Watching snakes and gators. You hoping the gator, you get a 6, 7, 8 pound bass on your line, you're hoping the gator don't come along for dinner. That's paradise to me. Paradise is out on a golf course and you see that ball into the cup. That's paradise. Paradise is a nice glass of, I don't know why we call it Arnold Palmer, but we always called it sweet tea with lemon juice, or lemonade in it. That's paradise. Sitting at 3 o'clock in the morning at the hotel there, at the Four Points Hotel beside the Gulfarium in Fort Walton Beach, Florida. Jamie and I sitting out there on the porch. We're on a balcony about the third or fourth floor. And there's two beds in there, so get comforters on, go out there and sit in a chair because it's a little bit chilly in November, and you're seeing this. Porpoise is playing in the Gulf of America. Amen! I don't know why they ever called the Gulf of Mexico in the first place. Sorry, stinking map idiots. That's heaven. But I've heard it. And I've seen those things on this earth. But I've heard about heaven, haven't seen it yet. I think I've seen glimpses. Oh, you're seeing things. You ever been out in the woods and the beautiful flowers that are out there? You see a squirrel doing this. You see a snake running in a stream. You watch the life that's on this earth doing its thing. The trees are constantly pointed toward heaven. The birds singing. I've seen and I've heard glimpses. Well, the Pharisees' hate destroyed their ability to hear. These had no ability to listen to the truth. The truth is saying to them, neither shall they say, lo, here or there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. It's a spiritual kingdom. The natural man, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 9 through 16, for the sake of time, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit. You and I are dead in trespasses and sin before we are saved. We didn't know it till the Holy Spirit brought the Word of God to our ear. And when I heard that Jesus saves, then Lord Jesus, if you save, would you save me? You're the Savior. Would you save me? Acts chapter 8, Philip is speaking to the Ethiopian eunuch, and the Ethiopian eunuch says, what keeps me from being baptized? He said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And the eunuch gives, I believe that Jesus is the Messiah. He is the Lord. He is the Christ. Well, now I can baptize. See, baptism wasn't going to save him. What you got dunked in, water, I don't say, you don't want salvation of earth. You need salvation of this kingdom of heaven. And when the Holy Spirit comes in to live within you, that's the kingdom of God. They was looking for this and this and this, But they didn't realize right in front of them was the truth. So not only do they not see the truth, but now they're not hearing the truth. Their hatred had ruined not only the ability to listen, but now it had ruined their desire for the truth. I'm going to do the best I can. The first time I saw Pensacola Bay was going down to the Bluffs. You're taking a road down next to Pensacola Christian. There's a road that kind of follows up and through there. Circle K was on that one on the left. You go down a little bit further, you go down a little bit further, and there's a parking area that you can get out called the Bluffs. First time I ever really saw it, Pastor Charlie and our youth group had gone to Pensacola, and Pastor Charlie took it down there. 16-year-old, 15-year-old kid, I get out of the car. Trees and hills going down, and then for the first time, I see this large body of water. Didn't know it was Pensacola Bay, but to look out there and to see all that blue water, of course, my first thought, man, I want to go swim that. I forgot what was out there in it. That big blue wet thing out there, part of the Gulf of America. First time I ever saw it. Now imagine with me what we've read about the Bible. If the streets of gold, the Lord Jesus is there. There's no sin there. It's righteousness. He's the light. We don't need a sun because the S-O-N of God is there. And all of a sudden you get there to heaven. Daddy's been in heaven for a year and a half now. I got a feeling my dad still, because of all the grief and all the hell and all the trouble he's seen on this earth. There might be believers up there for the last 200 years that are still. And what that did, when you see heaven, you see your plight as a sinner, and then you see the beauty of what the Lord Jesus can do. Friends, it will increase the desire. But when you have hatred in your life and you're doubting in your life, you won't hear, you won't listen, it destroys your ability to have a desire for God. Christian, everything in our life will either help our desire for the Lord Jesus or it will hurt our desire of the Lord Jesus. Are y'all listening this morning? The Lord Jesus is dealing with a doubting world. Hey, I'm going to tell you right now, this passage helps me because it's dealing with a doubting David. And a doubting, put your name there. I'm so glad he can handle doubt. What's the opposite of that? Faith. Which is the substance of things hoped for. The things not seen, but I heard about them. And that affected my heart to the point where, Lord Jesus, I really need you right now. The Lord Jesus preaches right in front of them the truth of the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is not carnal. It's not Camelot. It's not the Taj Mahal. What joke do you always use when somebody redoes their house and it looks really good? Wow, this is better than the Taj Mahal. Or they'll say when they're building these big buildings and putting all this money in it, what you doing down there? You building the Taj Mahal? I've only seen the Taj Mahal in pictures. And to tell you the truth, I ain't real thrilled with their architectural designs. I still haven't figured out what makes that so desirable. But I read the Word of God, and when I read about God's abode, when I read about the beauty of heaven, there's a river that flows by the throne. What a beautiful sight, what a beautiful thought. Did you hear that? That nice flowing river. Man, that creates a desire within me. It can't be carnal. But I know that one day, according to Scripture, I will physically be in the kingdom of heaven. I know that beyond a shadow of a doubt. Lord Jesus said He's gone to prepare a place for me. He's already got mansions built there. He's going to make a special place for His bride. Now, I pray I do pretty good for my bride. But I know He's going to do a whole lot better than I can do. Amen? Kingdom of God is not visible to the wicked man. They see this as just words on paper. Because of their doubt, it's blinded them to the point they can't see anything. But I also understand that the kingdom of God is not to be observed. But I can tell you right now, it can be experienced. Do y'all hear me? How many times you've been somewhere and been going through some real struggles, and the peace of God that passeth all understanding comes across you? When they told me I was getting, what's the term they use, getting out of the hospital? I done lost my terminology. Discharge. I don't like that term. Because when I go to the bathroom, I discharge. Batteries discharge. I like the idea of being released. Amen. You know, that bird that you take care of and you release it into the wild. Oh, I was so happy. I said, I am? And I mean, it was like, once the nurse told us that morning, we were out of there, and if you get your clothes on and you can go. You don't want me to go out without my clothes on? No, you got to put some clothes on. No, I think I'll just walk around without clothes. Of course you're going to put your clothes on. And I'm kind of out of it at this point. Jamie just had shown up. I said, babe, I think they told me to go ahead and put my clothes on so I can go home. And the nurse came in, and you're kind of out of it. You know, it's just, oh, I never want to be in that position again. Please, Lord. But boy, I was so, a peace had come across me. I'm leaving the zoo. Amen? If you spend any time in the hospital, it's a circus of a zoo. Hey, y'all, this kingdom of God's spiritual. The kingdom of God is within the believer. By the way, within the believer only. Natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit. He's dead in trespasses and sin. He cannot receive the things of God. That's why they're blind. Have y'all said this when you listen to the news? Well, don't they? No, they don't understand. No, they don't know. They think it's okay to have 15 different genders. The kingdom of God is within the believer only. The kingdom of God is seen by the believer only. Ever read the Bible? What are pictures and some things you see in the scriptures? In the scriptures, I see a triumphant Lord Jesus Christ. In the scriptures, I see a triumphant, powerful God. In the scriptures, I see a victorious. In the scriptures, I see a always wise. In the script, you see what I'm saying? You see the kingdom of God. It's only seen by you and I. Yeah, Sister Dawn, it's like, why can't they see their need of Jesus Christ? What's wrong with them idiots? But they're so blinded. They're so deaf. They're so dumb. That they can't see it. Does that make me better than them? Oh no. That just means I'm saved. And I need to make them better with the gospel. The Lord Jesus proves to the Pharisee that they're not spiritual at all. Hey, if you're looking for a spiritual pastor, just ask me to leave now. I can't be spiritual. But the Holy Spirit working within me can make me spiritual. I've had so many people, well, you're not as spiritual as you think you are. Yes, how did you know? You're so smart. And you know, that's always a slap in the face to them. Have you ever noticed how people don't want you slapping them in the face, but they can slap you in the face all day long? Well, I had one young lady say something to me, and I said, honey, you ain't as beautiful as you think you are. Is that Mormon? That Mormon one, I think that might have caused the fight. You ain't. Boy, I sure am glad in God's eyes I was worth Him sending His Son for me. Can you imagine what God sees when He really looks at who you are? Now, if you've been saved, He sees the Lord Jesus now. He doesn't see you for the way you were. But at one time you were ugly, wicked, dirty, horrid. The Lord Jesus proves to the Pharisees the spiritual law. The Lord Jesus shows them to be carnal. He shows them to be wicked. And He shows them to be corrupt. Now that'll either cause you to go to your bended knee to Him and ask for forgiveness, or it'll cause you to grab Him, to beat Him, and to hang Him. I don't know about you, but I really want the Lord Jesus to hold my hand. I don't care what you think about that either. I had somebody say to me, well, what, Jesus, your boyfriend? Oh, no. He's my everything. I need him to hold my hand. I need him to put an arm. Hey, there's times, and I've done this too. Sister Rachel, just a couple weeks, Lord, would you put your arms around Caden and Rachel right now and love on them? They need a big old hug that only a heavenly Father can give, that a holy Savior can give. The Lord Jesus proves that the kingdom of God is only known by those who believe in Him. It's not physical. It's God working in you and around you to bring that about which is best for you. You know what that is? That's grace. And that's mercy. The great compassion. So how do you deal with a doubting world? Don't be a part of the doubting world. Believe on Him. See the truth. Want the truth. Have a desire in such a way that you're not a doubting, dumb, blinded individual. Father, help us this morning with this thought in Jesus' name. Amen. Every head bowed and every eye closed. If God's dealing with your heart, would you come on, Christian? The old-fashioned altar is open. I don't know what you're dealing with, but if God Almighty has convicted your heart, or if He's working in your heart in something, won't you come give it to Him? Please. Please. I have no doubt that God's going to help my family get right with God. I have no doubt. I have no doubt that the Lord Jesus Christ is coming again. I have no doubt. I have no doubt of heaven's reality. And I have no doubt of the kingdom of God's reality. But boy, how many times do I doubt Him in what He's doing? And I can, like a fool, just like those Pharisees, I say, God, I demand an answer. And boy, that's some dangerous ground, Christian, to be on. To demand anything of your Savior? This morning, I don't know what God's dealing with your heart about. Would you come? Please. God's working in your heart. You come, but if no one comes the next few moments, with an invitation. Father, You've been so gracious and kind to us to bring us again together. Thank You, Lord, for that. We praise You, King Jesus. You are the only answer. Thank You for showing us this kingdom of God this morning from Your Word. And I pray, God, that as we leave today, our desire will be to seek the kingdom of God and Your righteousness. And that's what we drive for. That's what we seek after. Thank You again, King Jesus, for being my living Savior, our living Savior. In Jesus' name, amen.